Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, like I'm you. Lara Marie like I'm Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope your cakes up. London with the beats, here we go, so in. Then we go with a friend, you'll be both in. Hotel chilling, yeah,
I love virus role play.
I know. Oh my God, you loser.
Hey, loser. It's me, coronavirus.
Everyone's fucking paying attention to me.
Everyone's obsessed with me. No one gives a shit about you. You're not even in high risk, so fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off, and you have to stay inside.
Also, lol, your gym is closed. You're gonna get fat as hell. Meanwhile, I'm sexier than ever.
Yeah. I went to my building. Should we just start?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that? Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm just...
What's going on with you? What's happening?
I'm just stressed. I feel the stress today. I'll tell you why I'm really stressed. I'm stressed because I went on Amazon and I tried to buy a 15-pound pair of hand weights, and every weight is sold out.
Amazon is like totally sold out. Everything is sold out.
Everything has sold from Amazon, and we will never prime again. Also, Prime is just like not a thing now. I've been trying to prime, and now everything is like 3 or 4 days shipping. I demand Bezos give me a refund. Stop.
I demand Bezos just give us all money.
Jeff Bezos could give every single person in America $1 million.
And right? Be totally fine.
And then he'd be fine. Okay. How many people are in America?
There's like 350 people in America. If he gave each and every single one of us $1 million, he would still be like, have like 70. No, he would still have, he has close to $200 billion on his personal net worth. There's 7 billion people in the world. Jeff Bezos has $200 billion.
Jeff Bezos could actually just give every single person in the world $1 billion and he would still be fine. He would still have a lot of billions.
He'd have like $93 billion.
Jeff Bezos actually could pay out, if he gave, imagine how amazing it would be if he gave every single person in the world $1 million. He could do that. There's actually nothing preventing, there's not one single thing preventing him from doing that. Right?
He has a lot that he has to save for.
I mean, I guess he probably has a lot of properties, but like $200 billion, like you don't even need that. I want to know what his checking account balance is.
I mean, he probably has like 1 million checking accounts.
Yeah.
Also, it kind of reminds me, do you remember the story about George Clooney giving 11 of his best friends $1 million?
In a briefcase, yeah. He just sat it down at a table.
Like Randy Gerber and like who? He's like friends with like Rand. Like I feel like he's friends with like Josh Gad or like Jack Black.
Yeah, they and, like, all
the Malibu crew
to dinner, and then in each of their seats was a briefcase, and each briefcase had a mill in it from George. That's pretty chill.
It's very chill, but all of them were already millionaires, I believe.
I know. Randy doesn't need $1 million in a briefcase.
Okay, when I see Casamigos trucks,
I want to kill myself.
I want to kill myself, but I also like want to take a picture with them. Like, I always, they just look like cool dudes. Like, they're I love cool. that they're just like cool dudes on their bikes together. It's so gay. It's so perfect.
They're literally riding their bikes into like the seaside, like a small seaside Mexican town to hold up and exchange COVID loads.
We're bringing COVID loads into the lexicon.
COVID loads are all I can think about ever since you uttered the words COVID loads on the bonus episode yesterday.
Seeking COVID loads.
I'm seeking a hot COVID load.
I want a hot COVID load to the face.
Same. Just get it over with.
Just get it over
If I'm going to get coronavirus, I might as well get it via a hot COVID load to the dome.
Wait, so you're stressing about... The Amazon thing sent you into like a little bit of a trigger.
Also, Tony's been like, he's all cooped up, so he's extra bad behaved. And then I walked by a neighbor when I was taking Tony on a walk, and he was like, how's it going? And I was like, fine. And I was like, Tony's really like, he's getting stir crazy. And he's like, I know, my dog jumped through a window yesterday.
What?
Yeah, his dog just like jumped through a closed window.
I truly believe that animals know what's happening right now.
Yeah, animals are fully... Like, Tony is thrown.
He's tuned to your emotional palate, and he knows that, like, you're stressed. He can feel it. I think my nephew knows something's up when I've been FaceTiming him. Like, you know, I think he's kind of like, wow, like, my family's with him a lot, but he's like, obviously. But he's like... he spends a lot of time with my family. But, like, just in little... videos I've been getting of him from my sister, which has been keeping me sane. There's like a knowing look in his eye.
He knows. He's also an old soul.
By the way, I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara. And this
and you're listening to
Sexy
Unique
Podcast.
Just Vanderpump regular. Rule.
Vanderpump Rules regular. Edition. Regular.
Vanderpump Rules in the time of Corona.
Vanderpump Rules is actually also really disconcerting in a time of Corona.
It is. I'm reporting live from my respective abode.
Yeah, we fully separated.
Yeah, we did an episode yesterday. It went well. We were being very careful. We have both properly isolated, but we just feel going forward, it's just best to follow the rules.
What I'm learning about you, I think coronavirus is giving us all an opportunity to learn about each other's like truest essences, and you're a real rule follower at heart.
I think it's the Catholic in me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like the, like, hearkening back to my like closeted Catholic days of just like respecting authority and like,
I love that,
being in line. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we're excited to keep going with our, you know, our collab.
So excited. This isn't going to stop us at all. And I figured that you and I should do this Vanderpump Rules recap because it is what we would have been doing anyways in Chicago.
Right. So if you're listening now, it's going to be like a day or two after we recorded this.
Yeah. Imagine yourself in Sleeping Village, which is the venue in Chicago that we're supposed to be at. It's cold outside. You might be still recovering from St. Patrick's Day.
It's a lake effect. The lake effect winds coming through the lake, skittering up my spine like a xylophone.
In Sleeping Village, you're warm. Mm-hmm. And the lols are coming fast and free because we're on the stage just like giving it to you. We're raw dogging you, delivering hot loads.
Raw dogging you with lols.
Hot loads.
Lara is returning to her alma mater,
mm-hmm.
her city. the city that once had her.
Making a triumphant return into the bitter cold of Chi-Town.
Did Chicago have you, or did you have Chicago?
We fucked with each other heavily.
Yeah.
It would like flip-flopped all the time.
You flipped.
Yeah, it had me at first. It fully domed me for like the first year and a half. And then the second year and a half, I pegged it. And so it was like a true...
Power. Like, it was a power switch.
Yeah, it was a switch. And then we both ended up verse at the end of it.
I love that. That's like a true relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Testing each other and then being like, you know what? We know where to go when each other is feeling one way.
Yeah.
Do it the other way.
Chicago really did test me. That was a time where I deeply social distanced for the first, I would say, 6 months that I lived there. I was in like a total social distancing zone.
Because of the cold or...
Because of the cold and I wasn't used to being in a place. Like, I didn't know. I knew one person when I moved there. I transferred into college as a sophomore. And so I didn't like have friends from like freshman year to take into like my sophomore year. So it was really lonely. And then also no one told me that the sun sets at like 4 p.m. And then after September, it's just bitter cold for like the next 6 months of your life.
Yeah, it's like Siberia-esque.
Yeah, it was like brutal. And then I just felt like I didn't have anyone to hang out with. So I made grilled cheese and like hamburger helper and watched a ton of TV.
How is when you're dealing with that Chicago cold, like what's the skin situation? Like, I feel like I would be breaking out so hard. Because I broke out a lot in New York.
From like
winter.
Wind, like just cold.
And just being like on the subway and like the kind of wet subway, like cold air coming at you. I just was like constantly having breakouts.
Yeah, it took me a second to like kind of get used to it. But then that's when I discovered like facial moisturizers and the magic of facial moisturizer. And so Kiehl's, I think they're like... They had a really good moisturizer that helped me out.
Laura just made this look, a wistful look. Kiehl's.
I was thinking about like the day that I discovered it and started putting it on my face. And I was like, oh my God, this changes everything.
I was like incorrectly using moisturizer for so long. I was like Jurgening. I call Jurgens Jurgens.
Jurgens.
I was Jurgening my fucking face. Like hot. Jurgen loads to the face of like incorrect moisturizer, and it was making me break out more because my pores were just like
body lotion on your face.
I was basically putting I did not know. I was like literally suffocating my pores.
No, we have to train our men on how to take care of themselves.
And then I learned my mom, I think, gave me was like the first one to be like, try, you know, this, and it was facial moisturizer and like with SPF 15, and I was like, oh,
that's sweet.
Because I still like, it took me like years after I came out to like actually get into like
self-care,
get self-care and like wanting like, oh, I have to like present myself better than I'm, you know what I mean? And like,
well,
going
hard.
Out and, like, it is hard. Because you don't get taught that stuff.
Yeah, you don't get taught that stuff. And I really didn't realize, like, that not a lot of men, like, are ever taught how to do that. And really, I've only dated, like, seriously dated, like, a few guys in my lifetime. And, like, most of them kind of had an idea. But then I've also dated a man who had, like, truly didn't even know, like, how to wash his hair. Like, didn't know, like, how to, like... exfoliate, and I had to teach him all of that, and I was traumatized after that. I was like, how did no one ever like relay this important info to you? Like, do you not read?
Was his lack of skincare like mothering you?
Yeah, it sucked the life out of me. It truly like, I literally like had to threaten him. I had to be like, you need to buy these Kiehl's products. Like, I forced him into a place of Kiehl's, which I think is totally reasonable. It's not asking a lot. It's like basic, nice skincare, but it's not going to break the bank. And like,
force them like at gunpoint to a place of Kiehl's.
And then I was like, forced him at a like basically at gunpoint to like wash and condition his hair on a regular basis. And then it was like we got in so many fights about basic self-care rituals. And then by the end, he would always be like, oh, wow, my hair does feel nice, or like it does smell good. And I was just like, thank you. Like, I'm fighting this fucking invisible fight over here, trying
to get this
fucking heathen to like take basic human care of himself.
Did he credit you?
Kind of, but not really. I just like there was an eye exchange, and then almost in that moment, I knew the relationship was over, because like I can't, like it can't come down to that for me. You just need to know. And like mothers,
he didn't know to wash his hair.
He thought that if you didn't wash your hair, he thought you could just go like 6 months without washing your hair. So he would wash his hair once every 6 months. Carrie, I know why.
Okay, there is.
What's worse, getting coronavirus or dating someone that hasn't washed their hair in 6 months?
Coronavirus or dating or a guy with sour hair who makes his pillowcases have that yellow ring.
Yeah.
And like smell like, you know what? There's sturdy hair. It is a different caliber of filth.
Yeah.
And you know that ring.
Oh, I know it. Believe me. Believe me.
It's almost like the pictures of like the saints with the halos around them. It's like
that's like
the yellow the oil
straight
ring.
Straight man's oil hair ring on his pillow. But also it's like guys like that have like dark sheets, so you never see a ring. And then they also just don't wash their sheets. Like they have like mismatched bedding and like they don't wash their teeth. It was like the deepest level of straight I've ever gone, and I'll never go back. I can never date a guy that straight ever again.
No,
it just doesn't work for me.
Doesn't work for you. Some people can do it. You just can't.
No, it's absolutely not. I'm not here to step into the role that
you're not someone's mom.
I'm not your mom. And that's what I started to feel like. And it was truly bone chilling. That's why I would welcome to date a gay man and just like beard up with him.
Because he's going to have like non smelly pillows.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Some gays do.
Not all gays. But I think it's less, you find it less often in the gay community than you do in the straight community.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. But some like they're out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I still struggle with my skin. Like, my boyfriend has to sometimes give me tutorials on, like, his skin regimen.
That's okay. But
I like learning, and I where I come into problems is I rush through everything. So, like, when I shave, I'm like, and, like, fully, you know, the movie Scanners were, like, on the cover where they're like, and it's like their eyes roll in the back of their head.
Yeah.
That's me like shaving and giving myself razor burn. I am in a place of razor burn so much of my life, and I've gotten better at it because Simon has taught me how to like not like, like <that's laughs> literally me.
You do like a stress shave.
I do a stress shave. But
I would actually be, if I had to shave my face on a regular basis, like if I would not, my skin wouldn't be able to handle that. Like I can barely handle, like shaving my armpits was like tragic for a long time because it was just like would get so itchy and like I'd get razor burn. I can't imagine if that had to translate to like coarse hair on my face that I had to remove. I'd be probably a full beard guy.
Yeah, a full beard kind of girl.
The bearded lady.
Laura's gonna go full carny.
Should I grow my beard out during this time? During,
you should. I'll charge people to come to your
I'll charge people to get into like my close friends list on Instagram so they can see track my beard growth over
the- I recently have done a you're on my close friends list. I've recently done I did my first close friends. Mm-hmm. And I felt like so like, what is it? Like I didn't fully get it at first. And I did my first one with like a filter of this like woman with a cowboy hat on.
Ugh,
and
I feel like a close friends filter that, only.
the first one was, and then the other ones. I never do that, like the drag filters, but I felt inspired by, like, I imagined this one filter my friend Dan Breyer, who I wrote with Heather's on. He's so funny, and he did one of him wearing that filter. And he did like a Southern lady voice. And then I did one as like a South Jersey Philly person. And she's like, we're going down to Borgata, Atlantic City. And I did two last night where I was smoking a cig in the balcony. And I meant to send it only to my close friends. And I accidentally sent it to the public. And I was like, you know what? Why not? So I let it go to the wind.
I was into
super
her.
Vulnerable about it. Did you like her?
I love her. What's her name?
I'm thinking about that.
Think about it. I look forward to seeing more of this character, because I was really like.
Did you respond to her?
Yeah, I responded to her incredibly positively. Smoking a cig in like the beautiful like golden hour lighting, and like just telling me things that I need to know about her life. Like, I was like, yes, I love her.
Yeah, I wanted her to make sure she gave the message to flatten the curve.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to flatten the curve. Everyone's trying to flatten the fucking curve.
I need you to do drag.
I'm ready to do drag. I'm ready to go full male.
Or like Oklahoma woman, but in drag, but in a filter, like in a drag filter.
Okay, my Corona challenge to myself, I guess, or I'm putting words in your mouth as your Corona challenge to me, is I'm going to find my perfect drag filter and do like an Oklahoma woman. Or find my filter character. I think we all should have one.
I think that's a challenge to every listener.
Let's all find our one character that we can dependably lean on, that's like our alter ego.
I found mine, I think.
Yeah, oh.
I found her.
You found her. She found you. You guys found each other.
She might not even be I feel like she's, it's just like a person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
she
I found them.
Intersex.
She's
gender fluid and everything about our other character.
In that moment, I was kind of stressed, and I think turning to them in that moment in this time gave me some courage and some comfort, and it reminded me of South Jersey and I South Jersey and
South
I
Jersey
South Jersey
hey
and I know that kind of person. Like, when I imagine her, I imagine like so many people I used to see at like Wawa on like a foggy Saturday morning coming home from swim practice, and there's like a woman in front of me swinging her lanyards,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a circle, waiting in line with a giant
big gulp
iced coffee from Wawa. I'm just talking to someone, seeing someone she knows. And she's like, hey, what's going on?
I love it.
So that I
need
more
of her. Give her a name.
I'll
bring her to
it.
Life. I look forward to seeing more of her in the coming weeks.
It'll be a restrained emergence. Like, I'm not going to go full. I think she needs like to breathe a little.
Yeah. I'm on the edge of my seat to see where this goes.
Can you imagine going in the midst of like a disaster to Atlantic City?
No, I would actually, the last places I would ever go is like a crowded casino where everyone's touching everything. I've never wanted to go to one anyways, and so this gives me even more of an excuse. I don't like casinos.
I love slot machines. Than before, because you can smoke, and mm-hmm. like Simon and I go to like the one in Palm Springs.
You're Morongo. You're two Morongo gays, aren't you?
We're two Morongo casino gays. We'll go there with you one time and you will know.
Okay, I want to hit the buffet.
Yeah.
That's actually something I'm sad about, is like buffets in a time of corona are a real no.
But
is going to wipe out the entire buffet industry, and I'm worried. I love a buffet.
What's your favorite buffet?
I like a high-end, like a Ritz-Carlton buffet on a Sunday. Yeah. I want a Sunday buffet at a high end with like a raw bar, the works.
Well, I was very shattered by your harrowing Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was the first time. I should have known then that things were on the fucking downturn.
There was an ice sculpture?
There were no ice sculptures. That was part of the problem. There were just dead trees with dead leaves as the centerpiece. I'm like, that is unhygienic. We're at a country club.
You knew then.
Together. I knew then that things weren't right.
Yeah.
And I've been
I kind of felt like something was coming.
Something wasn't right. Like, something ain't right. Like, all something through wasn't the right holidays. Here. Yeah. And then now we are realizing.
Oh, we were just biding our time before. And Simon and I, our anniversary is in 2 weeks. And we were supposed to go to Vegas. And we were going to go to an all-male review.
Not anymore. Like,
Aussie Down Under.
You were going to go to Vegas where you just touch things that 1,000 other people have touched.
I know. And it's then, like, we were like, should we still go? And then we were like, no.
No.
This is... Well, now we can't because it's all closed.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Speaking of things that suck.
Speaking of things that aren't closed, which should be.
Yeah. This fucking wedding. The Kentucky castle definitely has to be closed now. Let's see if they put anything on their website about their COVID procedures.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obsessed with every company that like has reached out via email to talk about their COVID precautions.
I know. I love like them telling me for the first time about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Like, COVID, you know, a little about what's going on. I'm like, yes, I know. Thank you, Grubhub. Kentucky Castle is... Should I call them?
Yeah, call them.
Okay.
Thank you for calling the Kentucky Castle. For hotel and restaurant reservations and information, press 1. For private events information, press 2. For spa...
Message.
Is this the reservations?
Things aren't going well at the Kentucky Castle.
No. Will they answer or won't they? Let's see. It's 8 p.m. in Kentucky. It's right during dinner time.
Isn't there a voicemail I can leave?
We're calling the Kentucky Castle. We're either helping another guest or we have stepped away from the desk.
Oh.
With your name, number.
Should I?
Yeah.
We'll be in touch shortly.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm just calling about reservations and future events and if the Kentucky Castle is going to be open in the next few weeks. Call me back at... Oh, shit. My number. Oh. Well?
What great voicemail. I hope they go. I was literally just picturing that everyone at the Kentucky Castle is like Contagion style dead, like laying around as like a phone just like rings into the abyss. And then that voicemail, once like the CDC gets there to clean up the bodies, they like press play and it's your voicemail. And they're like, this son of
the worst.
I love it. It was so serious until like, if they, oh shit.
Why did I give them my real name? What the fuck?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a free country.
Also, it was a polite
message.
It was really polite. I love just a quick hang up.
I can't breathe.
Let's see, though. Maybe they'll be open.
It wasn't a mean voicemail.
No, it was so nice. They might be in the midst of a murder mystery party.
I know. It's probably closed.
It's. I would think it's definitely closed.
Oh my god! So we'll check back with you in like June or whatever the fuck this is over. And
yeah, we'll let you know if Carrie gets a call back.
As soon as I started leaving it, I like got that rush that I used to get when I was prank calling in like middle school, and I suddenly like forgot what I was doing, and I like looked up at you, and you weren't looking at me as to like.
I couldn't look because like, I would have lost it. I had to look away and get in like a zone, and I was like, he's doing great. And then you started saying your number, and I was like, okay, I make a mental note to like bleep that out, and then you were like, oh shit, my number. And then I love that. They'll get it though. I'm sure they have a lot of like scared people calling them right now.
Yeah.
They're not gonna judge you.
No. And was that a first doing an on air call?
That was a first.
Well,
yeah,
then
I love
broke
it.
The mold.
Yeah, you broke it. Like, this is a new era. This podcast just turns into like us prank calling establishments.
I mean, would that be that bad? Mm-mm. I used to call QVC with my friends.
Would you what would you do? Just like fake order stuff or ask a lot of questions?
You would just ask questions. It'd be like so one of the, 'cause it was so rude. But like it was like 1 a.m. We were just like in my basement on my big screen TV watching like QVC, and it was so funny at like 1 a.m. to us.
I think actually COVID could bring prank calls back because what else do we have to do?
I know. Speaking of a prank, I feel like this whole episode was a prank.
This wedding was gaslighting all of us.
Okay.
I felt like I was in a K-hole from beginning to about 3/4 of the way through, because even the music that they were using to like celebrate this happy day, I was like, what are you guys doing right now?
I mean, the music, the song that plays in the beginning when it's like sunrise over the Kentucky castle, and it's like this, it kind of, it's this woman being like, oh, my love for you. And it's like, it sounds like a Christian pop song.
Yeah, it was like a bat. It was like a Every Kiss Begins with K commercial or something.
Also, I'm not over that Jax's last name is Couchy.
Yeah, and Brittany's name is Brittany Couchy. That's pretty Kentucky, if you think about it.
I kind of, it's for me, it's like vaguely Mr. Big when you find out his last name is Preston.
Oh yeah, John Preston. John.
When she gets that call at the on the finale and she goes, hi, and mm-hmm. it says John Preston calling.
She looks at her like rhinestone flip phone.
That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
So we come over. It's the big day of the wedding in Versailles, Kentucky.
Versailles, Kentucky. And Brittany
Versailles?
Goes, this is memories that we will never be able to take back.
This is memories.
This is memories. Is like truly, this is memories.
I love her like ruffled note cards that look like they were like torn out of like a spiral bound notebook.
And they're like literally the 2 8th grade. They have the mental capacity of like 8th graders. And like, it's like if you ask 2 8th graders to like fake get married on the playground, this is what it would look like.
She definitely wrote her vows in crayon.
Yeah.
And she's like, my whole life has been leading up to this point ever since I was a little girl. And then we cut to her in her wedding dress at like age 6. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
She was like, it's just so empty. But I love that like Kristen's trying to keep hope alive. She like flings open the curtain. She goes, it's wedding day. Her voice is like as dry as a bone.
It's a big day.
She's a wedding day.
It's a wedding day.
She looks out over the highway.
I know.
I love, like, no.
No. And then we cut downstairs. Katie has a cup of DD coffee, Dunkin' mm-hmm. Donuts, in her hands. She accosts Mitchell in the hallway.
Poor who's
like
Mitchell.
Already. Poor Mitchell. He, like, woke up to, like, doing, like, a hot rail of meth and was like, you know what? I got to stay up today.
He's like, got to deal with these assholes one more day.
He looks so miserable.
Wouldn't you be if you literally had to deal with like coked out, hungover Jax? Like everyone's like, Her dogs are literally pissing and shitting all over their hotel room. Like, everyone is just, like, trashing the joint and, like, yelling at you. Jax is like, go get a fucking urn. Go get an urn for my dad.
Yeah, I feel a bit like just horrible straight people.
Mitchell has had to deal with a lot. And then to top it off, like, he didn't even know that he dodged death that weekend because that homophobic pastor was going to, like, come in and just, like, drag him behind his truck at the end of the night.
Well, Sherry and Mama were eyeing Mitchell and Lance Bass all weekend.
Yeah, they were not pleased.
So then Lance Bass just walks in. He's like, hey, I'm here.
I just wrote Lance Bass, no.
Yeah, that was... He was like, he didn't know why he was there.
No one really knew. He must have owed Lisa a favor.
Definitely. Also, Lance Bass's bar, Rocco's, was like open like on the last possible day it could be. And it was like full on Sunday, like full of gays on like going about like a fun day, Sunday fun day at Rocco's.
I think that the reason that Lance was asked to be in this episode and like worked into the mix is that he wants publicity for Rocco's because he owns that space. And I think someone was telling me they think Jax might be an investor in Rocco's, which also tracks. Yeah. But they also have that like Just Add X thing together. So it works out for both of them to be like on TV doing this sham of a wedding.
I mean, he definitely getting a restaurant on Vanderpump Way is like you're signing your name into the book of darkness.
Yeah, I now have nicknamed that whole area COVID Corner.
COVID Corner.
COVID Corner near, begins. Like, it's the block of Santa Monica in between Robertson and San Vicente. It begins with, it actually starts at Robertson and Melrose with Sir, and then you wind the corner, you walk north, you cross the Abbey, then you round the corner and hit Pump. Then you, Bottega Louie is still closed. You know Lisa's trying to fuck with them opening.
Oh,
then you go
yeah.
past Tom Tom, and then you hit the apex at Rocco's.
You're totally right, though. It's COVID way.
Mm-hmm.
A light bulb just went off in my head when you said Bottega Louie's opening up there. Maybe Lisa crashed the car into Pump as a message to Bottega Louie's.
That was like me.
This will I'm crazy enough to do it at my own place. So what makes you think I won't do it? Yeah.
Also, Bottega Louie's is brave for opening up a restaurant in between two restaurants that have both catch fire on a regular basis.
Yeah.
If I mean, there's a fire at Bottega Louie's, you know who lit the match.
Maybe it's one of those things like it's like Leah Remini coming out, like going all out against Scientology. And like we know if anything bad happens to her, it's going to be at the hands of Scientology. So maybe Bottega Louie is like, we're going to go here because it's a good location. And if anything goes wrong, people will know because we're such a popular restaurant.
I'm like, what will the future of Bottega Louie's be? Will it survive COVID Corner?
Will we eat there?
I would love to eat there. I like the one downtown. It's just like so far out of the way. I never really go.
I've never been there.
I'm a real whore for a macaroon too. That's a little little known fact about me is I go hang on a macaroon. Yeah. I went to the Grove before everything shut down and I got three rose flavored macarons and just ate them. Ooh, it was decadent.
Ooh, decadent. You had a very Sofia Coppola moment.
Yeah, I just needed a little taste of France.
I also went to the Grove last week before our show. Mm-hmm. I went twice in 2 days, and yeah. I don't regret it.
Me neither. I'm glad that one of the last places I went before the world ended was the Grove.
Me too.
That's how it should be.
There was a sales associate at Nordstrom named Eugene, and my first name is Eugene, and he helped me. He just moved from New York, and we were like...
and then
he took me over to the shoe guy, and he was like, his name is Eugene, too. And we were like,
whoa, look at that. That's major. Right? You don't see that kind of often. Cool. Yeah.
Three gay Eugenes.
I love it.
So
Katie wakes Jax up and he says he's going to power through this wedding day. You know how hungover he is. He looks pretty wrecked.
He looks close to death, but he's maintaining that he doesn't feel hungover at all.
Yeah, which I'm like, if you have to say that you're fine, you're definitely not fine.
I wrote Jax looks harrowing.
Mm-hmm. He, at one point, you see on his neck, he has like a huge zit that he never covered up with like concealer or anything.
Okay, we'll talk about this later, but his chin strap journey at the wedding, I was like, what? Just, he would look so handsome if he just shaved everything and put some cover up on that
conquer. Massive, like,
boil.
Fucking boil.
A witch boil. Do you think that someone that he wronged in the past put like a hex on him, so on his wedding day he would have a ferocious boil?
Probably 50 people in his life have all put a hex on him, and it came to a head at this very moment.
It came to a head as a boil.
It truly was like red and accosting me as a viewer, and once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it, and it was like too much. Like, no one in his life cares about him enough to be like, oh honey, like, just do a little touch up right there.
It was I was completely offended by his hair.
Yeah, his hair, his whole face shave journey of like that, like, it was so sharp.
And just like, really, you couldn't just shave like a little? Like, you couldn't just take that extra? It would have taken him 5 minutes.
He's too hungover to do it, probably.
He was like in, I know what that to be like. You didn't sleep all night. You were up all night doing blow. Mm-hmm. And you are like, you just keep going.
Yeah, you just keep going. And imagine that being like your state of mind on your wedding day. That would feel shitty. I would feel bad about myself.
Just like, you can feel the vodka in your like eyelid.
Mm-hmm.
Just like,
and you're just like, ugh. And you have to like pretend you're happy and like want to get married when really you would just love to sleep.
Yeah, and watch Friends.
Ugh.
According to him.
Imagine trusting Stassi and Katie to like steam your wedding dress.
I know. Stassi's like, we could have watched the entirety of The Notebook, but no, we're steaming this dress. I was like, Jesus.
Also, like, they're clearly like bad at it. They like don't get anything really done. And then it's just like, oh man, like, those are the kinds of people, like, truly dysfunctional human beings. Thank God that they were able to like get Vanderpump Rules up and running.
Yeah.
Because this COVID would have taken them out.
Well, now it's given them an excuse, like, their fame, not with all of them, but like Sandoval and Ariana are like totally capable humans, but like a lot of them, I think this has given them a pass where they don't have to know life skills.
They'll never have to learn. They literally survived for like 33 years without learning how to do a single thing and then got famous, and now we'll just never have to learn anything in their lives ever.
And Stassi's literally like, she's like steaming. I don't even know what she's like. She's not even making, the steam is not making contact with the veil or any part of the dress that they're steaming.
Also, it's like, you can't steam something while it's laying on the floor. Like, the whole part, you hang something up so it's hanging, and then you put the thing as close as you can get to it as steam is coming out, and then you steam it. These fucking idiots. Like, I truly can't.
But the one light in this scene is that Sheena and Kristen go outside in full face, probably to smoke a cig, and they are like having a little powwow about like the insanity that's ensuing
with their huge wine goblets filled with like either water or a cocktail. And then
definitely a cocktail.
Kristen sits down, she goes, Katie's energy fucking blows. Truer words have never been spoken.
She is so funny.
Preach,
like,
it into the universe.
Katie's energy fucking blows.
Katie's energy fucking blows.
Sheena is just like,
Sheena's like, where's Carter?
Sheena looks great.
Yeah, Sheena's never looked better. She's living her wedding truth.
Dowdy goes, Carter's staying at the Hilton.
Like, what am I supposed to do? And he texts me, like, am I supposed to like write him back? And Sheena was like, Carter's, he's literally right there. And then you look in the parking lot and Carter's just like lurking around.
He looks He looks rough.
He's truly the worst.
He looks like someone's older brother, like, of, like, a big family who, after college, like, moved to, like, Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
And has been living there for, like, 3 years and only Skypes, like, once every few months.
Yeah.
And then comes home. He's just rail thin and has, like, a huge beard and is having some kind of, like, intermittent fasting, like, cryptocurrency, like, moment.
Total cryptocurrency. And then, like, has been microdosing acid, but, like, it's taken him a long time to figure out the proper dose. So mostly right. He's just been, like, frying for 2 years.
Yeah. In, like, Romania or some kind of former Soviet country.
Totally.
And he comes in, and Kristen, Sheena just rolls her eyes because Kristen and Carter start hugging, and it's, like, really awkward.
And Sheena goes, he goes in for a kiss, and then she denies him the kiss, but then grips him with, like, one claw, and then they just, like, kind of sit. They're not fully both standing, but they're not sitting, and then they just, like, slowly mold into each other, and it closes up on Kristen's face. She's openly weeping. Sheena's, like, side-eyeing him.
Sheena goes, I'm gonna go get braids. And she says it, like, twice, and they don't acknowledge her. She just goes.
Sheena knows that's when it's time to go. Yeah. That's
I'm gonna go get braids.
Sheena's face when they started to hug was truly iconic.
That's me. When I've had, like, enough Corona news, I literally just go, I'm gonna go get braids. And I leave my phone and go into the bathroom. There was a meme, that meme I sent you last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to the living room. Me going to the living room.
Getting ready to go into the living room.
That's Sheena and all of us.
Yeah, that's Sheena. Sandoval comes to the tampon rescue. He literally is, like, in overtime. He is a good friend who will work tirelessly to make sure that everyone's taken care of.
And Jax could not be less grateful for it and is so resentful of him. And Schwartz is a literal buffoon.
Tom Schwartz's level of incompetence,
it's pretty astounding.
Never ceases to amaze me. Like, how truly undependable he actually is. Like, how has he lived this long?
I really don't know.
Like, walking into a propeller of an airplane or something, like, by accident.
Getting bisected by a chopper.
Yeah, like, someone that is that incompetent should have died by now, don't you think? Like, just accidentally.
I feel like he has Final Destination moments, like, every day of his life, and he's just somehow, he dodges all of them. Like, some, like, loose wire is, like, about to spark on, like, a puddle when he's stepping in it. He almost gets hit by a car. He almost, like, he dodges, like, a falling, like, piece of facade of a building. Yeah. You know?
I think, yeah, totally, because there's no way, like, that he should be alive and thriving, yet he is.
And we all know Katie's, like, I mean, I think she can get him out of some of those things, but I don't think she's able to, like, completely help him from himself, obviously.
There's no helping him, but also it's like, she's pretty lucky, too. I mean, she fell through a skylight and, like, survived that, so they might be just, like, perfect for each other. They are literally the Final Destination couple of the century.
That makes sense.
It actually does, like, fully add
it really
up.
Does.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Lisa is dressed like Eliza Doolittle when she gets like a makeover from Henry Higgins and goes to the Ascot opening day.
She has white gloves on.
And like
she looks
full
good.
Hat. I mean, she looks good, but her hat is also a headband. It's a headband hat.
She's
you notice that?
Yeah. She it's like a what take is it back. It? It's not I can't say it's good. What she's wearing.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. She can just wear whatever she wants and be like her own thing.
It's
which
Vanderpump
I have to give her that.
Does Kentucky.
Yeah. I liked there was a bit like it seemed like there was a bit of a theme. So I kind of commend her for that.
Yeah.
But it was, but she's wearing white gloves and she walks in and the groomsmen are all hanging out and Jax is eating burger fries and a Coke. And he goes, my dad's favorite. I'm eating my dad's favorite.
Burger fries and like, a Coke. Literally like an every American's favorite food.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I love that shit too.
Yeah.
I like
literal
pizza.
In-N-Out also serves that. Like,
yeah. My okay. dad's favorite.
My
this
dad's
is,
favorite.
Think of my dad. He makes everything about his dad.
Every single thing reminds him about his dad.
I'm saying
like
it.
Vanessa Hudgens, like I get it, I respect it, but also like
oh
no.
My god, wait, really fast, we need to talk about that. Vanessa Hudgens got in trouble yesterday because she was all the celebrities their Instagram live moments are they're fun but they're very dangerous because they're all like away from their teams
Yeah, they're all so stupid. I'm telling you, coronavirus brings out people's truest essence. And like now you're just seeing like how dumb some people actually are because they just like don't know what to do with themselves. So they just say stuff.
And don't know what they're fucking talking about. Because Vanessa Hudgens goes on Instagram Live and she's like, yeah, some people say it's going to last till the summer, but that's bullshit. She goes, it's a virus. Like, I respect it. But honestly, like, yeah, some people are going to die, but I'm sorry. That just happens. It's inevitable.
Isn't that kind of inevitable? I mean, I guess so.
Yeah,
I think she's just upset that Coachella was canceled. I don't think that she doesn't mean anyone harm. I think she's like a very delightful person. Like I've seen her vibe in a Soul Cycle class and I can say that she does seem like a beacon of positivity, but like also I just love her like telling it like it is. Death is inevitable. Thanks, Vanessa. I think about death every day. I'm glad to like have someone feel seen by someone. And understand that we're all hurtling towards destruction.
Yeah. People are going to die. But that's inevitable, right?
Inevitable?
I love it. It's a virus. I respect it.
I get it. I respect that. And yeah, people are going to die. That's how I feel about Jackson Brittany's wedding. That's how I feel about Vanderpump Rules, like, in general. People are gonna die, but
if me and you were in the audience, I would turn to you when they're walking down the aisle and I would go, and yeah, people are gonna die. A lot of people will be scared,
and some people are gonna die, but which is sad, but isn't that kind of inevitable?
I don't know. I should probably stop talking on this, she says.
I love that awareness. Yeah. But then being like, publish it.
I love her Netflix Christmas movies where she's like a princess, like a reporter or a chef whisked away to like Aldovia to go become a princess. Amazing. So then we cut to the groomsmen are all getting together. Beau and Randall are like in bed together.
Yeah. Not
hungover as fuck and very crusty looking.
Chatting about like their favorite Bruce Willis movies, and then this moment I was like, I think I love Rand.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice, like, he came off really sweet in this moment.
Rand seems like a fun guy. Like, he's just like down to clown. He's like, he's good energy. Like, he would be a fun guy to talk to. Like, he's not down afraid to of just like talk to whoever, you know what I mean? He's one of those kinds of guys.
He's not afraid of like male intimacy.
No, he'll like take his shirt off and lay in a bed with a man. That's what I'm looking for.
It's kind of nice. Like, that was kind of a sweet moment, but they're, you know, dangerously late for getting ready.
Lala has to wrangle him.
I kind of loved that. Was like a, you could tell like they have a very real relationship.
I mean, that is like their relationship vibe of her being very much like, and I love they're kind of like a second, they're like a budget couple in that sense. Like, he's not like A-list producer. She's not like A-list talent, but they are like, if you wanted to buy an A-list couple at a discounted rate, then you would have Lala and Randall.
Lala's like,
gives you all that same energy. It just is like half the price.
Lala's like, Rand isn't used to this, you know, like he has someone managing every action of his day, but right now that person isn't here, so it has to be me.
You know how much she loved saying that too.
Yeah, he has someone managing. I love people who are like, every day of my life is managed,
every second of my life is accounted for by someone else, so I actually don't know. That means you just do nothing until someone tells you what to do.
And then Randall seems like he gets ready without showering.
Yeah, I think he just hops to it.
Which I was like, go off.
I mean, what's the point of showering? It's literally like swamp weather. You know how terrible everyone smells at this wedding? It is just like a BO fiesta.
So, and Lisa and Lance sit down to like go over their vows. And Lisa goes, this brings back memories. This brings back memories.
She goes, this is a lot of pressure. Are you ready?
This is a lot
so much pressure.
Then Lance is like, can you tell me about who these people are?
He's like, where am I right now?
He just got in from Hawaii.
He's like, you put a like fucking cloth to my face, chloroform me, and then I woke up at this castle. So can you give me a little backstory here?
Yeah.
Then they like take a second to do a bit together. Like Lisa, you know, she wanted to like do like a comedy moment. And I was like, honestly, in my notes, I wrote, bye, bitch. You left Housewives of Beverly Hills for this shit.
Yeah. I made this face.
The purse. It was a null for me.
She does an impression of Brittany. She does an impression of Zach.
Zach Couchy.
I'm gonna just call him Zach for the rest of the episode.
Zach.
So Lisa does an impression of Brittany and Zach, and Lance is like, and Lisa goes, "Your turn."
I hate Lance Bass.
Yeah, there's something like he's just so like his, what a weird life he's had,
mm-hmm.
And it seems like he's. It's very strange. I feel like whenever he opens his mouth, I'm not hearing anything. Like I know he's talking, but I can't hear anything.
Yeah, he's like an avatar or something, like a robot or like a hologram of a person.
He goes like. And then, like, a voice comes out of his mouth, and then he just closes his mouth without moving his voice, without moving his lips.
Yeah, there's almost, like, no humanity or something.
I mean, imagine being, like, a teen thrust into that.
Yeah.
For, like, 10 years, and then suddenly...
Forced to be, like, a closeted sex symbol, and then outed by fucking Perez Hilton. I'd become just a hologram, too.
Forgot that.
That was so fucked when Perez used to do that to gay guys.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he sucks ass.
I like saw him one weekend, twice in a weekend, like out and when I lived in New York, and it was like 3 a.m. and I was at this old, did you ever go to Sugarland in Williamsburg? It's like, it's closed now. It was this fun gay club. But like they had really crazy like late night parties and he was just like there and I saw him twice in a weekend and I felt like, I shouldn't leave my home again for a while.
Yeah, that's like a harbinger of like, that is like his final destination harbinger. Doom.
And he had like a newborn at the time. I was like, okay. He's dark.
It's dark energy. It's a really dark vibe. You have to have a dark vibe to do what he did for so long. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But he's kind of had like, he's such a casualty of like social media because he was sort of doing that before. I know that sounds really, send me the guillotine right now for saying that, but like he was doing like, like all that shit before anything was real. And then he was like kind of forsaken for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like he's in like a weird exile now.
Yeah. I mean, I think his website still makes a ton of money. Like I think he's fine, like set for life, but like at what cost?
Remember when Gaga was like, Perez is in my building. He won't leave me alone. He's stalking me.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he like harass Gaga?
They were super close when she first, he like helped make her kind of.
He helped make her. I remember. Yeah. He would always write about her.
And then I guess there was some falling out when she got really famous and he felt like she kind of forgot about him. And so he used to just write the most gnarly shit about her. And I guess one time, listen to me, I guess.
Just like one time, you literally know evidently. The entire history.
I know, I'm like, my nanny used to go, evidently, mm-hmm. Gaga during her art pop phase said that Perez moved into the building that she and her family all had like units at. And she like tweeted it like, call the police. And like her little monsters went after Perez.
Love.
Now they're cool again.
That's good. I mean, you might as well just be cool with him.
Anyway, why wasn't he there?
At Jax and Brittany's wedding?
Yeah.
I don't know. Jax had to cut corners.
You know who didn't get cut from the list? Larry fucking Burkhead.
Why was Larry... They've been friends with Larry for a long time, I think. I need to understand how that connection formed.
Do you want to tell anyone who doesn't know who Larry Birkhead is?
Larry Birkhead is the biological father of Anna Nicole Smith's daughter, Dani Lynn.
Mm-hmm. They were together right before she passed.
Right before she passed, she gave birth, and then Howard K. Stern tried to claim that he was the father, and there was like,
but Larry Birkhead and Dani Lynn are clones.
Identical, yeah. And actually, Dani Lynn also looks exactly like Anna Nicole.
I know,
she's so cute. And so then there was like a whole kerfuffle of like DNA tests and like paternity tests and stuff, and then Larry was found to be the father.
So he's sort of like,
but he's like, what was he ever doing?
I think he was just like a fuckboy.
Yeah.
And now, and like, I guess, does Dani Lynn have any access to the fortune?
I don't know.
Because I think that's why
Anna Nicole Smith even got to have the fortune, because I think that J. Howard Marshall's family just like kept suing and suing for the.
Well, she made her own money.
Yeah.
So she probably has some, but God, Anna Nicole Smith was so gorgeous.
So gorgeous. A true star. And then things took a dark turn.
She was a solar flare.
Yeah, she was a solar flare. We're lucky to have been able to live in her realm for short time.
We took it for granted.
We totally did. I would love if any readers out there have a link or know how to get me episodes of the Anna Nicole Smith Show, please
on
get in touch. Oh, are they all on YouTube?
I think they have some. I went on like a bender one day where I watched a few, I think, on YouTube. And
I need to know.
It was like missing some parts, but I got some good like fix.
Yeah. But I that feel show like was, there have to be readers out there that could like help me out with that. So please write me an email, sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com.
That's a great quarantine activity.
Great quarantine activity is find me the Anna Nicole Smith Show and help me share it with Carrie.
Oh my God. I'm just imagining Anna Nicole's content from quarantine.
Ugh. She would have been a great quarantine.
Oh, yeah. She would have all her friends over, her cousin.
The dogs.
Kimmy.
I am Mitchell clapping and saying, let's go to people.
Yeah, Mitchell.
Mitchell was like, this is cool.
He had a flight the next morning at like 5 a.m. back to L.A. He was like, get me the fuck out of here.
Mitchell's all biz.
He's all biz. He looks great. I liked his look.
He's great. I like a floppy, untied tie or whatever he was doing. Like, he was pulling a look. I think he's the Kentucky Castle's, like, go-to event coordinator.
I feel like he had some Carson Kressley energy.
Mm-hmm.
I was into it.
And Jax walks his stump of ashes down the aisle.
It's 96 degrees.
It's so hot. Sweaty hell.
I wrote, I'm in hell.
Yeah, everyone looks to be in hell.
Bo goes, my ass is a Florida swamp right now. I was like,
shut up, Bo. Shut the fuck up.
So yeah, everyone, so Jax settles at the front of the ceremony. Everyone's like, oh!
And the groomsmen, the line of groomsmen and bridesmaids is never ending. It just keeps going and going and going.
It's like Liza Minnelli's marriage to that, what was his name, David? That guy who had that face.
Yeah.
And they had that, Michael Jackson was in the groomsman and Elizabeth Taylor. Hold on, what was his name? He was on Big Brother and that fame when David Bowie died.
David Guest. Oh my God. And he was gay, right?
I mean, I think so, right?
He had to be.
I mean, I feel like she could only marry a gay man.
There's
right?
no way. David. Oh my God. I remember D-Listed always used to write about David Guest.
I know. I need to read. I need to like catch up on D-Listed. Michael K
has a podcast, I think.
Oh, wait, you told me that.
Yeah, I was looking at like various podcasts and stuff, and I saw that he has his own podcast. I gotta listen to it. Yeah, he's a true. He was the real Lawler. One of
everyone
the
read Perez, but he was the real.
Like were Perez. I would read Perez, D-Listed, and Pop Sugar. Back in
D-Listed,
the day,
D-Listed was the first site I used to check,
mm-hmm.
and my sister turned me on to him, and I feel like I used to like when I first was sort of forming my opinions about everything, like pop culture wise. I feel like if I met someone and they said they like D-Listed, I was like, okay, they're good.
Yeah, that's like, I need you to know what D-Listed is and like understand all the references.
When he would write about his like abuelita, remember his abuela.
You could always write about her.
The best part about Michael Kay is that he writes scathing shit, but he also always adds self-effacing like anecdotes, and there's a lot of heart in his
mm-hmm.
what he writes, and he always has like a tender center of everything, which Perez was like always like
a daemon
horror, but Michael Kay always had like truly funny and also heartfelt shit, and I loved it. Chicken cutlet.
Phoebe, fucking chicken cutlet is at it still. I saw a fucking picture of chicken cutlet the other day where she was like wearing a fucking mask.
Did you send me this link?
Yeah.
She was. Phoebe, what was her name? Phoebe Price. Chicken cutlet. Fish sticks Paltrow.
Fish sticks Paltrow was iconic. He used to call Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony's twins the Dragon Tales twins.
He also called Lady Gaga Lady Gaga. Fish sticks Paltrow. And no one committed to it more, like no one committed to a bit more than Michael Kay.
He was a genius. It still is a genius. He's still running that whole
chicken
cutlets will never quit.
Why? Who is she?
I know no one knows, but when I went to Cannes in 2008 to the film festival, Chicken Cutlets was there and I saw her like on the red carpet.
She's like an Angeline, right?
Yeah.
Laura just sent me a picture of David Guest. Oh my god. He died.
What?
David Guest died.
When?
In 2016.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Oh. Well,
R.I.P.
Damn. Well, anyway, their wedding is very much the Minnelli Guest nuptials.
Mm-hmm. It's just like a continuous stream of randos. And Jax is like fake crying the entire time. Yeah.
They all come out one by, you know,
pair by pair. To flank
everyone's hair
the
is
happy
down.
Couple. Yeah, everyone looks just like it has a sheen of sweat on them. And the best is like Ariana tells Sheena, she's like, move your flowers so that everyone can see your tits.
And I love
so
that.
Sheena like adjusts.
She's like
true
thanks.
Friendship.
Well, first. Brittany walks down the aisle with her dad.
Yeah.
And Brittany goes, Dad! Wow, Dad, you look so handsome! And Peter, these are just my notes, Peter is totally on another level. Peter is
the happiest he's ever been.
He goes and gives Jack a hug and shakes his hand. Jack says, okay. And then Peter goes, I love you. Jack's eyebrows are insane.
They're insane. His whole grooming from the neck up is cause for concern. It's a 51-50. I'd call it in.
It was a little pirate.
It was so pirate. It was David Guest-esque. He fully was in a place of David.
He totally was a place of David Guest. And when he sees Brittany, he goes, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Brittany, I mean, she looked beautiful.
She just looked pretty, but her dress is like awful. Her dress is truly like a padded bra sewn into a bodice.
I think it would have been cool for her to wear her hair up.
He would have been more princessy. Also, like, she tried on one dress when she did her, like, fitting that was, like, a princess gown. And I thought she was going to go that direction. And I kind of liked whatever princess gown dress she wore. Side note, my workout studio that I was stairmastering at, like, 5 days a week is right next to the place Kinsley James, where Britney's fitting was last season. So every day I walk by that place and think of Britney.
That sounds like Kristen Cavallari's next child.
I know. Kinsley James.
And then as Britney's walking down, Lisa, who, by the way, her and Ken have their own row. Because
they had a mandate, no one sit next to us.
As Britney's walking, everyone's like going like, wow. And then Britney, and then Lisa goes, oh, that looks beautiful. Wow, that looks beautiful.
No, it looks beautiful. Lisa's still in a K-hole.
It looks beautiful.
It looks beautiful, darling. Then we get to Britney and Jax's vows.
I said Lisa was hallucinating the alien light orb in Annihilation.
Yeah, she was. Lisa's on another planet from everyone else. She's like over here doing like comedy bits and then like siphoning off her own row for her and Ken and then just like commenting at things.
I love that. They didn't tell them they were coming, but they made everyone not be in the row.
I know. Not only do they come, they like bring a dog to a wedding.
And it's hot.
And it's hot. Like that dog should not be there.
Jiggy's wearing a sweater.
I know. I don't even know if that's Jiggy. That might be Harrison.
Oh, also, yeah, Jiggy's on ball.
Yeah, I think that, like, Lisa Munchausen's her Pomeranians.
Well, we know that she plays, like, she power plays.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Britney and Jax's vows are some of the most brain-dead sentences that have ever been strung together.
Yeah, it was pretty... They were pretty not, it didn't feel personal.
It's totally like, it's both vague and the most personal things that they've ever shared.
Hooters Brittany. Makes a cameo in the vow.
Brittany goes, we love so many of the same things, like Kinsley and Monroe, Hooters, and of course, Friends.
This was them at their rawest.
This is them at their most vulnerable. There's one more. Lisa goes, to see Jax up there so vulnerable. It's so touching. And then this is what you get. We love so many of the same things, like our dogs. Like, I would hope that you both love your dogs.
We love our dogs, Hooters
and
Fran.
Of course, Franz. If I was at a wedding and someone said that, I'd blow my brains out.
Then Jax says, "You're my lobster." Oh,
I'm gonna rip an eyeball out and eat it.
I don't want to know what that means.
That's a Friends. It's another Friends joke.
Oh, see, I'm not like a Friends head.
I just know a lot about Friends. I feel like because of now this
fine.
Show reminds me.
Yeah,
but like it's so. And then Jax goes, you made me the happiest man in the world, and not just because you love Friends as much as I do.
No one laughed.
No one, like, that...
It went...
I don't understand, like, why... I don't understand, like, how this ended up being their vows. Like, I do, but
not,
I also
that's
don't.
That's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
It's unacceptable.
Don't mention Friends. Friends.
We love so many of the same things, like Kingsley and Monroe, Hooters, and of course, Friends. Is anyone awake right now? How did no one stop this from happening?
How did Mitchell not stop this?
Mitchell slaps the vows out of her hands and claps in her face. He goes...
Mitchell went in the background going, God!
God damn it!
God damn it! He said backstage, he threw something and one of his assistants kind of like, you know, looked down.
Martine, you get out of my sight. I'm going to hit you. Mitchell gets really violent when people fuck with his like equilibrium of like what's chic and what's unchic. He's constantly threatening to like hit his assistant. Martin, what the fuck do you want?
Get out of here. Get out of my sight.
Get out of here.
Get out. Get out.
Martin. Get out.
Yep. Get the fuck out. Wait, Martin, come back.
Here's a hot take that I wrote.
Say it.
This wedding feels fake.
It does feel fake. It feels like it feels like a staged like high school
publicity
play.
Thing.
Yeah.
So they kiss, they get married, and then there's no heart. And then they walk off.
Must be fake crying, right?
Also, Brittany has to walk across like probably a wet lawn.
Yeah.
And she like rolls her ankle. She goes, ow. She goes, ow, I fail.
Ow.
I was like, couldn't they put maybe like a little platform or something?
I'm really confused as to like...
Were the chairs sinking in the sweaty earth?
Probably. There was like a sinkhole. One of the bridesmaids like died. They've never found her since. She was swallowed up by the earth. The earth had to claim a life in order for this wedding to take place.
So then we go back to Tom Tom and we go back to West Hollywood for everyone who wasn't invited to the wedding.
COVID ground zero.
COVID ground zero.
Meanwhile, COVID corner.
We see Treasure Logan in the background. Logan's great. And then we see Max and this rant. What's her name? Val?
Valessa?
Valessa comes up.
What's her name?
She's like a Tom. She's like a cool, like, chill girl who loves, you know, you can tell she's a chill girl. And she goes, heard there's some drama with you and Dana. Max was like, no, it's all good.
I'm really unclear on this, like, Max and Dana fake-ass storyline.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about this.
They also, like, just, we'll touch on it now and then we'll never go back. They just have there's no, like, stakes to any of it. Like, neither of them have chemistry. They have negative chemistry. It's like two magnets repelling away from each other.
So let's just say it. Let's just do it. Let's just get out of the way. Dana and Max meets. Okay. Basically, Dana finds out that she was incorrect. This is actually very funny and very me. So Dana thought, confused, there's two Joneses nearby. Jones on third, I think, is where Max and that girl were.
Oh, they weren't at Jones.
She thought they were at Jones on Santa Monica and Formosa.
Yeah, okay.
And he was at Jones on third, which is on Third Street.
Really? They were just having a daytime lunch. Okay, that makes sense.
Jones, if you don't live in LA, which is fine. I'm just kidding. For those of you that don't live in LA
and don't know what Jones is, let us educate you on this fact. Jones on third
is like a brunch, daytime hang, good food, kind of expensive, but good.
It's like expensive cafe where you like order salads, or they have like a little deli with like pre-made salads that you could order like a plate of vegetables and like...
You can get a vat of chicken curry salad.
Yeah. You can get like a grill, like a good sandwich, like a hot sandwich. Maybe you could get a panine.
A panine.
But it's like a daytime. They have really good coffee. People like Jonah Hill go there for like a little lunch action. And it's like a lunchy vibe.
Yeah. Not really a date vibe. It's like a friend vibe.
Yeah.
And then you go to Jones, which is where, if you listen to the live show last week, I thought Dana was talking about that Jones, and that's where I had that traumatic date.
Same.
And it's like a, you've had a traumatic date there?
No, but it was the same Jones that's what I thought that Jones was too, which is like an Italian, like rocker bar restaurant. Like
in the bathroom, everyone, there's like pictures of girls like top, like showing their tits and like, being like, they're all going,
So
they went there in the hills.
Yeah, they went there in the hills. I've seen Lauren Conrad at that Jones. Like, it's a nighttime. It's like a sexy nighttime spot. So we all thought that that's what it was, but it truly, it was just Jones on third.
And it's like, I thought he was there, like, taking her on a lobster dinner. I'm like,
what? They also don't serve lobster there. It's not a lobster place. It's like pizza and pasta. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Also, oh, wait. So we can talk about this, though. I like that we're in Waco right now.
I like that we're, like, not going to talk about it, but we have to talk about it.
So Dana tells Danica and Raquel this. They're all out to lunch. And by the way, Raquel's wearing a giant red bow.
And Raquel's red bow is a cry for help. That's Danica Westworld. She's breaking out of her Westworld robot, and she put on that. She, like, can't. She cannot break, like, the fourth wall and be like, help me, get me out of this hell. So when she was getting ready and, like, getting booted up for the day, she put on her red flag, red bow that is supposed to communicate to the viewer, help me,
I need
for the
help.
Love of God, please help me. It's an SOS bow.
Like, ex machina herself. And, yeah. Danica says, oh, I can't drink. We find out that Jessica got a DUI and she has to blow into a breathalyzer to start her car. And then they have this amazing video of her blowing into it. I like how she's radical.
I love Danica. Danica also is just telling it like it is all the time. She literally
She's also a manager.
You. Yeah, she looks at you with her face and she's like...
Yeah.
And then she's like, actually, like... No, it's like this and blah 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 blah, and she's very like business as usual.
I love her. I think she's bringing the energy. She's gonna survive out of the newbies. She'll be the one.
She's a fucking fighter. She would not succumb to COVID, she would fight it.
No way.
No.
She was like, yeah, I was driving. My friends were driving to a party, an after party in the hills, and we got in my car and I got pulled over.
I do. Now I have to have this breathalyzer. It's so embarrassing.
And then she basically,
she is
no judgment, and she basically calls Dana out for being. Dana's like, I'm considering going back together with Max, and Danica's like, okay, that's stupid.
Basically, like, you're an idiot for that.
And Dana goes, I shouldn't take. I'm a little judgy from a girl who has to use a breathalyzer to start her car. I was like,
but that has nothing to do with your relationship status. That has nothing to do with you lowering yourself to date some, like, loser.
Yeah.
I love that later on, when Charlie confronts her about the Max situation, they're clearly not friends at all. Like, they don't know. Like, the best are these weird conversations between the newbies, because they literally have the most awkward transitions into, like, talking about whatever the producers want them to talk about for that scene. And, like, Charlie will be like, so how are things with Max? And then Dana's like, tells her whatever, and she's like, I don't get it. Like, what is it about Max that, like, everyone's obsessed with? And Dana's like, hey, has a big old dick. And then they talk a little bit more. It's, like, really awkward. And then Charlie just goes, you'll figure it out. But if not, I guess just go suck that dick.
Amazing.
That's literally me to anyone that ever asked me for relationship advice.
It is you. Suck that big old dick.
Suck that dick, I guess. I was like, Charlie's a winner.
Charlie goes, wow, I'm the youngest one here, but I'm a lot smarter than most of these people.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I love Charlie's, like, takes.
They're like demolishing Dana.
I'm also like, how did Dana get done this dirty? Like, she seems like she could really bring it. Like, I just feel like she's been now, like, in the season, like the mid-season trailer, ends up going for Brett. I'm like, how did you end up in this situation where you're getting, like, passed around by, like, just these, like, two racist idiots?
Yeah, I feel like Dana,
like, she
couldn't decide if she wanted. Yeah, I feel like she couldn't decide if she wanted to be fully messy, or, like, I feel like she's kind of stuck in between being aware that the show is probably aware that it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But she wants to get famous from it. So she's like holding back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think she's not. But it's weirdly making her come off more poorly than if she had just
it just makes her come off flat. Like, there's nothing to, like, latch on to, because it's just like, I don't buy that she actually likes Max, and I'm not going to buy that she actually likes Brett. I think it's just like, oh, this is what, like,
I have to do,
or what producers want, or whatever. But, like, I'm not, like, she's not selling it. So then it's just like, oh, you seem really one-dimensional. And, like,
yeah,
no one can root for you because you're just, like, not even being that funny. Like, it's like, even if she was just, like, she doesn't, like, talk shit about anyone either, really.
Yeah, she needs to, like, go big or go home, like Danica or Charlie.
Yeah, Danica, girl, they're teasing something like, for you.
Charlie said she never ate pasta before. Like, that alone is more interesting than anything Dana's done.
Yeah, like, I want to know more right off the bat.
Also, when Dana is to Danica, and sorry we're jumping around, but I want to stay on this. But yeah, when Dana is telling Danica and Raquel about the situation, she's like imagining their date, and they do a cartoon of the date. Mm-hmm. Oof, like stick figures and them like boning in bed, and it's like,
no, stop,
no,
enough with the cartoon. Enough.
I wrote KMS.
Yeah, that's a kill. That caused some suicidal ideations for me. I'm gonna have to forward the bill for my psychiatrist to the producers of Vanderpump Rules.
Dana also tells Charlie that weddings are whack, and if she ever got married, it would be at a courthouse. And Charlie says, "That's so funny."
I love Charlie. I don't even know if Charlie's like all there. I feel like she doesn't listen to anything anyone says. She's going in to deliver lines, and she just bides her time and like kind of mentally checks out, and then just like says a response. Like, she clicks in when it's her turn to talk.
I love that though.
Yeah, me too. She's killing it.
Weddings are whack.
Weddings are whack.
That's so funny.
So funny. You'll figure it out. If not, I guess go suck that dick. All right.
Iconic.
Thanks, Charles.
So back to Kentucky.
Back to this wedding of true Paimon.
The dinner has begun.
Actually, this is when the wedding started to look expensive, and I think all the money was dropped on like the dinner and like reception after the fact.
It looked pretty good.
It looked good. Like, then I was like, oh, they actually did, like, spend some coin on this wedding.
Mitchell turned it out.
Mitchell turned it out for that one. You know, Mitchell was, like, trying to reel in the trash that Brittany and Jax, like, wanted to do, and made this, like, one. This was his shining moment where he made, like, this greenhouse dinner look as chic as possible. And then you know that they always end up, like, being, like, just totally trashy on the other side of it. But yeah, like, this is a shining. This was, like, Mitchell's, the gem in his crown.
He owned, like, Lisa Vanderpump was shaking.
Yeah.
And I think he was, like, sticking it to her, kind of.
Yeah.
And so it's beautiful. There's, like, florals hanging from the ceiling. The plates look really expensive. The food looks, like, it's a really beautiful ceremony or reception.
It's a cool reception. It's a beautiful receptive scene. And then Jax is like, Shep is randomly there from Southern.
Shep!
Shep!
Shep! Brittany goes, Shep!
Shep! They hug him, and Jax is like talking about why he likes Shep so much. And he goes, he likes to party. He's a womanizer. He likes to be funny. Then those are the reasons that Jax likes him as a friend.
Yeah.
Shep!
Shep!
Shep is, his show was boring.
Southern Charm.
No, where he did a spinoff where it was like, get Shep a girl.
Oh, yeah, no, I couldn't. I watched one episode. I can't even tell you what happened in that episode. And then I was tapped out after that.
Lance Bass does a poem.
Yeah, Lance is like, he's too lit.
And then we see Carter is demoted to like the random gay table.
Mm-hmm.
Where we see Logan, other Logan, James's Logan.
Logan, no. Logan, no, who's ready to fuck your man.
And some other guy that literally looks like Keith Urban. We see Stassi and Bob. They talk about getting married. Yeah, I don't care. Schwartz's speech is the worst.
Truly a rambling 17-minute monologue. And the only good thing that came of it was Sherry's face when he curses. He goes, Jax motherfucking Taylor. And it cuts to Sherry, and her face goes from smiling to a total frown.
I don't like cussing.
I don't like cussing. I don't like using the Lord's name in vain.
I liked Jax, like, reading him for the long speech.
Mm-hmm.
And Brittany goes, stop it. He's doing the best he can. He goes, don't do that right now. Because Jax is like, can we fucking hurry this up?
Because you're making a bigger deal out of it.
Making a bigger deal of it. It needs to be. I was like, no, it's a terrible speech.
I love, too, that Jax finally has gotten to, like, a place of being so, like, coked out and drunk that he can now spew about how much the wedding is costing him.
Yeah.
Like, this is when he starts to feel confident, being like, this is $100,000. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, this 17-minute speech is costing me, like, a couple grand. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, just, like, doing that thing that's so, like, gauche to talk about that at the actual event.
Lala starts crying when she watches Brittany and her dad dance, and she's like, it's, you know, when I get married to Randall, my dad won't be there, and it's sad.
Yeah, that was sad.
And then
Kristen and Carter
go outside of the tent. That's air conditioned, which I also thought was chic. And she goes, Kristen goes, I'm having the best time of my life. My allergies here are gnarly as hell.
That's why she's hoarse, probably.
Yeah. And then Carter and her get into this intense conversation.
We're
and
like,
Kristen goes, why do you want to be with me? And Carter goes, because I fucking love you.
I love how Kristen's like reading him and he's like emotional, sad, pained. No. Like, he is, like, truly someone I think that's never connected to his emotions ever. And so Kristen has to, like, project all of this, like, emotion onto him. But he will never play ball and, like, meet her halfway there. So it's just done. Like, she just loves drama.
She does. And so does he.
She loves it. And he does, too. He's there. I mean, he flew himself to Lexington to stay at the Hilton because he's, like, addicted to this drama.
He's addicted to Kristen and their turmoil.
He's addicted to Dodie.
We cut back in the tent, and Ken is like, looks wet and tired. And Lisa goes, I have to go now. She goes, I'm trying to stay as present as I can, but I am in mourning. We cut back to that one,
the one
picture she has with her mom.
They look like they're the same age.
I know. So they leave. Then they go to their after party and they throw the bouquet, and Kristen really wants it, but so does Stassi. Ugh. And Brittany's like, I'm not going to throw it to Kristen because I don't want her to end up with Carter.
I think I should throw it to Stassi because she seems like the next logical person to get married. And I love that they're all like vying for that bouquet, and then her like sad cousin catches it. I like bawled when it.
I did too.
The crowd parts, and that girl's like, woo! And she's like, my cousin Marsha caught it instead. She's 18, so she probably shouldn't get married either.
But it's like, it's very like they're like pagan in that way where they like, you know, it's like a ceremonial thing. You don't really, it's like, but they really think it's real.
They think that they believe that it's real. It's like believing in Santa Claus or something.
So they go to they go back to the castle where there's an after party. They have they're greeted by like flanked on each side by Hooters girls.
They make them walk through like a bunch of people. They like sparklers, and then they just hold them over them as they walk literally from one building to the next. That seemed really strange to me.
Brittany tries to kiss Jax and she misses, and it's really weird.
Yeah. Then Sandoval dances with Lance, and I was like, that was giving me life.
Oh, it was so sexy.
It was sexy.
Hilarious.
Sexy Sandoval at it again.
Just so fun. Like, and he's like literally like under his crotch, living out his like, Sandoval wished he was an NSYNC.
Yeah, Sandoval would have killed in a boy band.
Ariana totally is like, he's living out his boy band fantasy right now.
Yeah, she's like, I love it. She's like, let him do what he needs to do.
But you could tell it turned her on.
She's into it, and who wouldn't be? I mean, he's like, yeah, he gets cheesy or whatever, but like he shows up for his friends and he cares and he's gonna have a good time and like not pout about it. Like if my friend was acting like Jax did, I would be such a fucking bitch about it.
Yeah.
And I would be like, not participating in this wedding anymore.
We cut over and we see Sheena's grinding with this like hot bald daddy.
Sheena's fully sucking face with like a tall baldy.
I was so into that.
I was so down with like her Mr. Clean moment. It was sexy too. I also,
they were gonna fuck so hard.
Oh, she was like riding that daddy dong later. 100%.
She's like, Kristen could be doing this, but whatever. I get the tall one.
Mm-hmm. Major. Also, so rude. The lighting in this after party, the fluorescent overhead lighting makes everyone look like shit. And it
should have turned it down.
So oppressive. It was truly.
That's when you knew the money was running out.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, just use the normal lighting.
Normal lighting and like probably production, like they have to have like lighter, like brighter lights so that you can see everyone. But it's like no one wants to see Jax and Brittany and the wedding party fully lit with like this lighting while everyone's clearly on coke. Like when Jax starts to rage out at like the workers of the wedding and like the bartender.
I know.
There's a moment where like one of his random guy friends is behind him, like gurning.
And I know. And so Jax gets pissed because it's a cash bar. The bartenders suddenly are like charging people, and Jax is like, I spent 60 bottles of vodka, like blah blah blah. And then Sandoval's like, hey man, it's all good. I got it. And then he, like a good groomsman, the best man, goes and gets all the vodka and they just start pouring it out to everyone.
Yeah, and so then it's like fine, but Jax has literally tells like no less than three people, like, I spent $100,000 on this one, and what the fucking vodka, what the fuck. Like for him,
he's
to
raging.
Feel that comfortable speaking to people that way is truly insane.
He's totally raging. He says Sandoval gets a B-C+. I was like,
we're doing
really?
The bare minimum.
Wow.
You hate Sandoval.
But he did so much.
Sandoval was literally there handing out umbrellas to people that were melting their faces off, waiting for your stupid bloated ass to walk down the aisle.
Sandoval is a mensch.
Yeah. Sandoval's a real one. A true friend. There's also one moment where Brittany and Jax are like cornered in the overhead lighting ballroom. And Brittany goes to hug him. She goes, honey, we're married. And Jax looks down here. He goes, big old titties. I love them. He goes, sorry. I love you too. And then kisses her. And I was like, I rewound that moment four times.
Big old titties. I love them.
He goes, big old titties. I love them. Sorry. I love you too. I was like, what? And then I was like, what is he saying? I put the subtitles on and it literally subtitled big old titties. I love them.
That was like a true, like, his sex addict came out.
Yeah, that was psychotic.
Yeah. And then the next morning, Jax wakes everyone up at like 7 a.m. because he's like, we have to be out of here by 11 and I'm not paying extra charges for people being late to check out. So he pounds at everyone's door. He's like, I'm spending money, blah, blah, blah. He gets, everyone's probably deathly hungover.
Yeah, everyone is literally on the death's door. And especially Tom and Katie, like, you know how they love to just trash a room. Jax pokes his head, and when Jax is shocked by the state of your room, and like a person who literally just lets their pets piss and shit all over a hotel room looks into your hotel
and slept
room,
with a curtain and slept with like a white sheet as a wall for a while.
Yeah, when he's looking in your room and being like, whoa, I know this is kind of chaotic, but like hopefully you can get it together, you know that your life is in a really bad place.
Sheena, Carter, and Dowdy all wake up in the same bed.
Did Kristen just like ride Carter's dick while Sheena was like passed out with like noise canceling headphones on?
For 100%.
Or did Sheena hook up with tall bald daddy and then come to the room later?
I think that's what happened. I think Carter and Kristen fucked while Sheena was out fucking big dick daddy and then slipped in while they were like post fuck, passed out. And just like pass out herself.
Yeah.
She took like an Ambien and like put headphones on and passed out.
She put like her eye mask on and then just like snuggled in and then passed out.
She took melatonin.
Wait, we have to talk about one thing that we skipped, which was Max's tattoo.
Oh my God. Max. So Dana goes to TomTom to talk to Max about like getting, she's like, I think it's time for us to get back together.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that he has a fresh tattoo.
And it's,
what does it say?
It says it's a martini glass with a skull and it says shaken to death.
And it looks like it's scalding. It's so fresh.
It truly is like less than a day old. She goes, I don't talk to you for a day and you're a whole new person. I was like, honey, when you see a tattoo emerge, that tattoo, you need to just get up, turn around, and walk away forever. It's over.
Max, basically, Dana's like, I realize that she ends up apologizing to him, which is like, really?
Yeah,
which I was psychotic. Like, psychotic. He lets her apologize because he's
a bad guy.
And she's like, and so, you know, I'm sorry I accused you of cheating on me. Like, I know that you were at a different Jones than the one I thought, which is like, what is this conversation? And then she's like, so I really think that we should get back together.
Give it and another
try. Max is like, nah, I'm good.
I love that he's like, I'm like, he never even fought to like try and be with you in the first place. Like when you were like, why are you dating this girl? Like, blah, blah, blah. He was never like, hey, like, no, like never fought for the relationship and then doesn't in this moment. So like that should tell you enough that it's, oh, like, why are you fighting then?
And Dana looks like genuinely surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, I like tried.
There's so, like, no passion there.
No. It's just, it's for the TV. Yeah. It's for the TV.
We both like the same things. Kinsley, Monroe, Friends, Hooters.
Friends. Well, then we have, like, looks like a decent rest of the season coming.
I'm here for how much crying it seemed is going to happen in the rest of the season.
Stassi's going to get engaged in a cemetery. Jax might have second thoughts about marrying Brittany.
Kristen goes, Jason is gone. Jax is back. Or something like that.
And she's like, and it's time for me to fuck.
Time for me to suck. Then Charlie pops up. She goes, guess it's time for you to suck that dick.
That's us, like, leaving our apartments with masks on. Should I go into this Rite Aid? Guess it's time for you to suck this dick. What?
Guess it's time for you to suck a dick. You'll figure it out. Or I'll just go and suck a dick. I love Charlie. Well,
I'm so happy the wedding's over.
Thank God this wedding's over. I literally tried to watch this last night as I was going to bed. And then, like, somehow passed out. Thought I had watched the whole episode, but really only 5 minutes had passed. And it was, my TV volume somehow was up louder than it's ever been, and it was blasting like wedding music as Jax and Brittany like partied down the aisle, and that was the last thing I saw before I drifted off into like a nightmare filled slumber. It was the worst way to go to sleep.
Just your standard night in quarantine.
Just wake up to them being like, ah! And the TV volume being so loud and being so disoriented and having to like watch them celebrate their special day and then just like turn off the TV and fall back into the abyss. I don't recommend it.
But we got through it together.
We did.
We got through it with all of you.
We all had to bear witness to that horrible, horrible event. The cursed event.
Keep listening for VPR recaps with Laura and her amazing guests.
Yes.
Hopefully I'll make another appearance recapping VPR.
I'm sure you will. Hopefully,
yeah.
This quarantine, like, who the fuck knows how long it's gonna last, but
Laura has her ponytail like in front of her face right now, and I'm that's also truly me. Do like a messy bun.
I'm like in pony zone.
I wish I'm going to grow my hair out so I can do a messy bun.
You should get, like, you know when Britney Spears shaved her head, and then once it had grown out about as long as your hair is now, she just got extensions? I think you should just get extensions now.
Okay. I'll get extensions. Simon buns his hair last night, and I'll just get extensions. We'll just be like a fucking yo-yo.
Yes. I think you need to go with like long Kim Kardashian hair that like covers like all the way down past your nips. Like extensions that start where you can actually see them because your hair is short anyways.
What if I just do that and then never like address it?
I'm in. I won't say a thing. If that's how you want me to deal with it, I'll fucking co-sign it.
Okay. But stay tuned we'll be with you guys weekly through this fucking nightmare, but we're going to get through it together. We're going to lull. Everything's going to be okay. Just try to entertain yourself. Everything that you've been sending us has been so funny. Like, everyone's sending, like, hilarious pictures and, like, dirt from other TV shows, and like all of the stuff that you guys send is so funny. And it's
I love
brightening
it.
Our moods.
If you want to write into the podcast, you can write us at sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. And you can, we read all the emails that people write. Oh my God. I just saw a mosquito hawk in my apartment. I'm truly going to die. We read all the emails that you guys write on the bonus episodes. And they truly make us lol hard.
They do. Well. See you.
See you
this
in
time
hell.
Next week.
See you in quarantine hell.
I'll see you in hell.
I'll see you in Paimon's lair.
I'm gonna order a messy side bun one day. Like, I'm gonna order like a clip in from Amazon. That won't be sold. Well, maybe that will be sold out. But the next time we podcast, I'm just going to podcast with a side bun.
Yeah, get a messy bun.
Okay.
Guys,
we'll do that.
Pray for
we'll
me
do
that
live.
Get a weight. Does anyone have a pair of 15-pound weights they just want to send me? Let me know.
You should just do push-ups.
I hate push-ups.
Just go G.I. Jane.
I should have gotten like a bar installed on the wall and used this quarantine time to teach myself how to
do
a single pull up, because I've never done a pull up in my life.
When we're allowed to go back out, I'm gonna come over to pod one day and you're gonna be doing like Sarah Connor style, like Linda Hamilton Terminator 2 going, and you're gonna turn to me and go, how's the knee.
You're gonna come over and I'm gonna be doing push-ups on one arm and clapping in between them, and I'm gonna be wearing army cargo pants and a full fucking wife beater, and my arms are gonna be so jacked, and then I'm gonna pull out a fucking machine gun
and point it at me
and point it at you and go, who are you? And then be like, get in here. This is like going to turn me into Sarah Connor.
And I'm gonna go, I'm gonna go, but I love it.
You love it. You love to see it.
Who are you?
Who are you? Get in here.
It's me, Laura.
Get in here. And then I'm like, what are we doing? You're like, we have to podcast about Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I'm like, what? I like don't even know what you're talking about. And then I do a podcast with me.
And you have to be like, who are we talking about again?
Who are these people? What? Do you have intel? Did you hear that? I'm like fully like Vietnam vet style.
Do you have intel?
Do you have intel? You're like, yeah, Melissa's being a bitch to Teresa.
You see that Pentagon report?
I'm like, 1 second. I go up and do like 40 like pull-ups in a row.
You're like in QAnon.
I need the Kentucky Castle also to call you back.
I know.
ASAP. Well,
I will of course keep everyone updated on if the Kentucky Castle called
Kentucky.
Kentucky Bussy.
Kentucky Bussy Castle calls you back to let you know if they're open during this COVID crisis.
Anyways,
well,
follow Lara at larsmarie.com.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO. Bye.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.